InternetCases.com Podcast, May 27th, 2005.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to this week's podcast, coming to you in MP3 from Chicago, Illinois, USA. I'm attorney Evan Brown, and I'm the author of the weblog, found at InternetCases.com. Thanks for tuning in. I'd like to talk with you this week about a case coming to us from the federal court in Maryland dealing with copyright infringement and false designation of origin in the website development context. You might have read about the case of Mays & Associates versus Euler in a May 24th posting on InternetCases.com titled "Daystar Case Applied to Dismiss Suit Against Web Developer." Here are some facts of the case. Defendant Euler used to work as a graphic and web designer for the plaintiff Mays & Associates. In January of this year, she left her job there and started her own business designing websites and printed materials. As web developers commonly do, Euler placed on her new company's website a portfolio section that showcases her creative talent. Some of the material appearing in Euler's portfolio was work that she did while she was employed by Mays. Well, Mays didn't like this, and it filed a lawsuit against Euler on Valentine's Day of this year. A few days beforehand, Mays had filed applications with the U.S. Copyright Office to register the websites and brochures Euler was using in her portfolio. Mays' lawsuit alleged copyright infringement, unfair competition under Section 43A of the Lanham Act, and other claims arising under Maryland state law. Euler moved to dismiss the case, and the court granted her motion. There were two main legal issues. First, there was the question of whether the court had subject matter jurisdiction over Mays' copyright infringement claim. When the suit was filed, Mays had applied for, but hadn't yet received, copyright registrations. The second issue was whether the plaintiff had stated a legally sufficient claim under Section 43A of the Lanham Act for unfair competition, given the facts of the case. On the copyright issue, the court looked to Section 411 of the Copyright Act, which provides that no action for copyright infringement can be instituted until registration of the copyright has been made. The plaintiff argued that its pending copyright applications were sufficient to satisfy this requirement. The court disagreed, however, and determined that because Mays had failed to receive registrations in the copyrights before filing suit, it failed to meet the statute's jurisdictional requirements. Applying the ordinary, contemporary, and common meaning of the words in Section 411, the court held that Congress intended to require something more than application for a copyright prior to filing suit. As a result, the court held that it didn't have subject matter jurisdiction over the copyright infringement claim. Turning to the Section 43A issue, the court held that Euler's use in her portfolio of work she had done while employed by Mays could not support a claim for unfair competition. The court noted that under the holding of the 2003 Supreme Court case of Daystar versus 20th Century Fox, Section 43A does not apply to ideas, concepts, or communications embodied in products that are offered for sale. Essentially, the court held that Mays had no viable cause of action for false designation of origin against Euler for putting her previous work on her current website. Such a claim was preempted by copyright law, which, if invoked in an action after receiving registration certificates for the works, would provide the appropriate remedy. Well, that's it for this week's podcast. Thanks for listening. Remember, all that I've said here is merely for your entertainment and information. If you need legal advice, please personally consult with an attorney. If you enjoyed listening to this podcast, I'd certainly like to hear from you. Drop me an email at ebrown@internetcases.com. For more information on the music you're hearing, please check today's show notes, and I will talk to you again next Friday.